This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
My name's Bob, and I'm glad you guys are here tonight! Before we can get all wound up, I want to give a big shout out to Jimmy Hoare in front. Those folks listening in tonight on the Disney Nerd Podcast, we want to welcome you all.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 441 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we're going to take you through our planning stages, our going to the park, and basically hanging out at the hotels of all the things we take, how we set up and prep, and some of the tech we deal with to get us through a trip to the parks. To help me with that tonight, we have Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
I am fantastic, and that is mostly because in 7 days from today, me and you will be at Walt Disney World.
Very, very true. It'll be your first day of our trip. Looking forward to it. And in about an hour, I will be at Be Our Guest looking for a reservation. So
I guess very cool. I guess technically it'll be 8 days before I actually see you, but we'll both be arriving. You'll be arriving earlier on Friday. Mm-hmm. I'll be arriving later on Friday, but in 7 days I'll be there.
Yep. Can't wait for it. And we're so looking forward to it. And kind of like the theme of our show is, how do we go ahead and do our prep work for going to Walt Disney World? What do we actually take into the parks with us based on the type of trip we're going on? And then I guess some extra things, maybe what we do at the hotel rooms. Do we do anything extra? But before we go there, though, I wanted to take a look back for a second. So, Jimmy, when you were a kid and your parents planned your first trip, how old were you?
My first trip was in 1986 and I was 11.
Okay. So my first trip was in 1976 and I was also 11 at that time, too. And basically, our parents, how would they have planned the trip to Walt Disney World? We're going to talk about all this tech in about 2 minutes, but I just wanted to kind of reflect on what our parents had to deal with when they took us to Walt Disney World. Because you know what? They had the same amount of kids, they had the same amount of luggage, and they had the same amount of crap getting to Florida, but they had no help in doing it.
I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, I mean, now I could probably, I've gone enough and I've driven enough that I could probably go now and just drive there without like Google Maps or navigation or whatever. But back then, you didn't even have any of that. So you actually had to have like a physical roadmap.
Sure. That's definitely the first thing. They'd have to have their atlas or their roadmap specifically, maybe 95 or whatever highways connected getting down here to Florida. However, what would you do if you wanted to find out about something about the parks? How could you ask that question?
It was completely, at that time for us, it was completely word of mouth. The reason we went, and you know, I guess the other thing is also the TV specials. Because at that time, they were cranking out TV specials fairly often. And back then, you only had 3 channels to watch. So chances are you were going to catch one of those specials at some point or another on ABC. But a lot of it was word of mouth. Before we went, my dad's boss, the guy my dad worked for, who lived a couple of houses down from us, had gone and talked it up so much that my dad decided to take us. And you know what? One of the funniest things is that I realized, because you know, I had pictures like in a photo album. I've scanned them now, but in a photo album from 1986 in that trip. And you know, we stopped at a hotel on the way down to Walt Disney World. But the hotel we stopped at was like in Silver Springs, which is like south of Gainesville. And I'm talking to my mom, I'm like, what made us stop? Like we were there. We were almost to Disney. Like we were legit there. Like another hour would have probably been in Walt Disney World. So we drove, you know, from New Orleans, it's a 10-hour drive. So we drove 9 and said, let's stop.
Right, right. Well, Disney wasn't the destination, though, I think, for our trips, our parents' trips back then. Disney was one of the destinations once you got to Florida. So maybe that wasn't like forefront in their minds.
For us, that was the destination. But, you know, at the time, we didn't travel a lot. I grew up in a very small town. That was the first, and that may have been the first time. I think once before that, we went to like Arkansas or something. But I don't even remember that trip. But, you know, back then we didn't travel a lot. It was once every 4 or 5 years we get to go on vacation.
Right.
So I think also the thing is that they planned that and said, look, we'll stay at a hotel. You know, the kids can swim in the pool and stuff like that. We didn't have none of that. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have a pool or anything like that.
Sure.
So the ability just to go stay at a hotel room and go swim in a big built-in swimming pool was kind of a cool thing on its own.
Oh, no doubt. However, just even getting the hotel reservation or finding that hotel or getting themselves like booked, how much tougher it was way back when. And when I say way back when, we're only talking 50 years, perhaps 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at that time you would call the hotel.
Exactly.
That you wanted to book with. You would call you. So you it would have to be a known like brand, and you would try and find one. I don't know. I guess you would
just call
like the 800 number for Holiday Inn and say, look, we're looking to go to, you know, this place. And
so I'm thinking AAA, who would have the booklets or the pamphlets perhaps of numbers. After that, it's just a straight out travel agent. Yeah, that was so tough. So again, flashing back now to 2022, we have Walt Disney World's website, which is incredible now. I give them total kudos. It's a 9 out of 10. We have so many third party sites that have such great information, including the Disney Nerds podcast. But there
are also be remiss if we didn't mention touringplans.com because they are a sponsor and both of us use them. For every trip we go on, we go to touringplans.com and use them in some, if it's a dining finder or
definitely,
you know, getting our hotel, you know, choosing our room or the room request feature or the crowd calendars. I use it every trip.
And out of those third party sites, there are definitely some that stick out. Touring Plans is definitely one of them. The Disney food blog for me with all the festivals, Epcot festivals and such like that, is a big hit for me on my prep work. I just was on there earlier today trying to find out some more of the menus at the kiosks so I make sure I can hit the ones I like. I hate actually seeing them or hearing about them and getting down there and just never finding them or not being able to, you know, locate them and stuff like that. It's just so frustrating sometimes. So a little prep work works out well for us.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just all those things are a lot easier, you know, I mean, and we talked about this not that long ago on the live show with Intercot, which was one of the first sites that was around for that. And those message boards were vital. I mean, this is before Facebook and Facebook groups and all that stuff. So the message boards were vital when you were looking for people's opinions and you had a specific question or just a discussion.
Right,
and sometimes it's not when Intercot, those message boards came about, you know, I'm not talking about questions like, what time does the park close? Because you probably could have Googled that back then. But, hey, where should I go eat? Ohana or Kona?
Right.
Well, you can't Google that, right? That's opinion. But when you're in a message board, you're gonna see the comments swing one way or the other. They're very rarely 50-50.
Right. Right, right. Now, and you did mention something that was kind of a little like bit of a thorn in that Walt Disney World never had the best site until about maybe 8-10 years ago when they finally redid the entire thing and it became actually very useful. There was a reason why there were so many third party websites and people out there with Disney information, because when you went to the Walt Disney World or the Disney Company website, it was very tough to find out specific information. You never could find menus ever on there. Times sometimes weren't posted until like maybe a month ahead of time, things like that. So it was very tough to get really good information from the Walt Disney website other than basics, where the hotels, what hotels are available, pricing, things like that.
You know what? Another thing that you don't really see anymore, but when we were planning trips, was so clutch. And I used to call once a year and order them, is the the vacation plan and DVDs that Disney used to do.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course. That was the tradition.
And they devolved.
Remember, it was the VCR tapes first.
And they changed. In the end, they changed to like these really generic, like just things. But I mean, I remember like the one for A Year of a Million Dreams, I think it was, or The Happiest Celebration on Earth, where they had like the four like actors that went and did. Actually, I still follow one. Erin Cahill is one I still follow on Facebook. She's still an actress and she's been in some small roles in TV stuff. But they had the lady and the guy who just wanted to snooze, and then the young kid who wanted to do all the throw rides, and you know what I mean? And they took you on like that. You followed each one around the parks and kind of got an idea of, hey, what's the best thing, you know, for a kid, a teenager that's going to want to ride the throw rides, and where's the best place to lay on a park bench and relax, because, you know, so.
Definitely. That was part of our traditional going to the park prep work, was we watched the video a couple different times.
Yep. Those were great. I kind of missed those, to be honest.
Right. Although they did get repetitive until they had some really major something happen. However, they were kind of cool just being able to catch up on different things. Another big thing before going to the parks, what we're doing is making sure we have our magic bands, which we're going to talk about that in a second too, because that's not much the necessity as it was. With the amount of magic bands we have, there are already some that do kind of batteries fade or aren't registered anymore and such like that. So you always want to make sure you have them. They're the correct ones.
I mean, we could probably go into that, but I am still like, if I lost all my magic bands and I couldn't find them, the first thing I would do when I got to Walt Disney World is I'd buy a magic band. Sure. I know it's not necessary, and I know you can do all that with the phone, but I don't want to take out my phone, unlock it, open up the app, you know, all that nonsense every time I need to scan it for something.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, we're almost to the point where we're going to get to the parks anyway. Other than touring plans, like you said, which is a major site, and that's more crowd calendar specifically. And then it's also become my place to go for hotel rooms, checking out hotel rooms at different resorts or where I want to start requesting. Yep. With the Touring Plans membership, one of their things is they'll start faxing the hotel 30 days before your start of your trip, recommending or asking for a specific location.
And they have a picture of the view from every room in Walt Disney World, which is bananas. That's what you do at
something at work, where you're just literally going to look at the third floor of building number 7 at the Pop, or you're going to jump over to Riviera or something like that.
It's bananas. It really is. The other thing I've used on their site is the reservation finder. So there's a system if you have a membership, and the membership's like $15 a year or something like that. It's not a lot of money.
And I think it's like $12 if it's reoccurring, meaning if you're coming back as a member, they give you like $3.
They give you a little discount. Yep. So now they also have like a reservation finder. So if your dining reservation is not available, you can go kind of put the information in what you're looking for. And if it becomes available, they'll send you a text and let you know it's available.
Nice. So now, and they also have their Lines app, which we're going to talk about apps actually in a second too. So we'll hold on to that for a second, but they have their own app, which I used a lot more religiously than I started using the Disney Line app. And it's basically waiting times for rides.
And it's more accurate though.
Yeah. It was very, considering they didn't work for Disney and they had no way to be there all the time, they were able to, and this is where Len comes in. His key thing is the statistics. He is all about the stats, and when they have people recording things hour after hour, different days, different parts of the month, year, or whatever, they put it all together, and it just kind of gives you the truth.
Yep. And then, you know, with the app, and we'll talk about that when we get into it. But so the other thing I think is important to me, and I just started doing this for our trip, is, and they are not a sponsor, maybe they should be. At one time, I used Garden Grocer. Mm-hmm. But now there's so many more options that are much less expensive. Garden Grocers, you kind of pay extra for all their stuff.
Everybody has a little bit extra too now, because even Publix now started upping their delivery cost.
They're a little more expensive, but the problem is with Garden Grocer that I found is a case of water there is like $9 or $10, and on Publix it's $4. So it's like...
Right.
The groceries are, they're charging you delivery fee, but the groceries are also more expensive there. Publix, the groceries are what you would pay, you know, anywhere. And they do sales sometimes. Sometimes you can find things that are discounted. So I started my order on the Publix delivery app. It's through Instacart, but the Publix delivery app mm-hmm. has Instacart built into the app, so you don't have to download the Instacart app.
So now, one of the things we found issue-wise with that is that if you are not at the hotel room to receive the order or be there to okay when they bring it, you cannot get alcohol. However, somebody said the other night on the live show that there is, I'm not sure if it was another app or a way you can sign up and register and like waive the whole thing about that and then accept the alcohol. So
I'm not sure. We have to look in that. In my experience, you have to be there. Like Publix won't drop it unless you're there if it has alcohol. Yeah. But now they have Drizzly, which is an app that only does alcohol. So you can just do that separately. Like Drizzly is an app. So we were at the bar at All Star Movies with some friends, and it closed at like 11 o'clock. And I'm like, well, shoot. So I went on the Drizzly app and ordered a case of beer for like $15 or, you know, $20. And then they charged me $5. I would have ordered a 12 pack, but like there was a minimum. So
well, but the party's
within,
still going.
It's like Uber Eats for liquor, though. Like you order it on the app, and within 20 minutes, it's there.
Nice. By the time you finish up the drinks from last round.
Yeah. Yes. So it worked out perfectly. It worked out perfectly. So
very cool. Well, so different things that you can do now. And it's all about the apps, I think we're finding out. So now the next stage, I guess, is after the planning and prepping for the trip, we actually get to go on the trip. So now if you're driving, tech's not going to be too much of a thing other than now there's no more maps. We're using our phones. We're using our maps on the phones. We're the guys telling us or the ladies telling us to take our rights and our lefts. We are using our phone to make our hotel reservations on the trip down if you're doing that, or your plane reservations if you're flying. And you're also using your phone now to register and kind of get on the plane going through TSA and through luggage check and such like that.
I'm such a freak when it comes to anxiety and stuff like that. When it comes to travel, like everything
at the airport is stressful. There's nothing stress free about the airport. You know, the most stress free time actually is when you start taking off on the airplane and you're in the air.
Don't get me wrong.
50 years ago, people freaked out once they got in the air. Nah, to me, that's the best time in the world because nothing can touch me now in the air.
I'm done. Yeah, I'm gonna be landing in Orlando. So I go to the kiosk at Southwest, you know, to check my bags, you know, print my luggage checks, but I always print. I know my boarding pass is available in the app, but I just have this weird fear that I'm going to get up to the freaking place and my app's not going to want to open. The phone's not going to want to work. It's going to start downloading an update or something stupid, and it's going to piss me off. So I just do the paper, just print my little boarding pass and put it in my pocket, and I know that barcode's going to be there.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you there. And that's another thing we'll find out as we go through. There's so much tech that you trust exclusively. Like I trust my map app exclusively. I don't trust the airplane things at all. Yeah.
Sure. What type of stuff are you ordering from Publix or the grocery store?
Driving down. So here, when you have a car, it doesn't matter. And I was going to say the best way to get groceries to your hotel room is know somebody down there that has a car and can deliver it.
Yeah, correct.
We're not going to have to deal with that. We have Thursday to kind of figure out what we're going to have to bring on Friday. So we're cool. And we can also, I was going to say we could pick stuff up for you, but I don't know when we'd be able to deliver it until like.
Dude, it's so easy to order from Publix. They leave it at Bell Services.
I feel bad
when I get there.
I agree.
Yeah. I call Bell Services when I get there. They deliver it to the room. I tip them a few bucks and it's done.
Yep.
So what type of stuff do you typically want in your room?
So number one absolutely is water. Yeah, if I can get a case of water for the price of one bottle of water at the parks, I'm a happy camper. Even if I pay a couple more for that case, it still doesn't matter. A couple more bucks.
And a lot of times, in the evenings, me and Kim, we're at Epcot hanging out, having drinks and stuff. So after that, when we get back to the room, like I drink a lot of water. I drink 2 bottles of water probably every night.
Sure.
I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll drink, you know, I'll put one on the nightstand and I'll wake up and get some water and go back to bed.
The other major thing for the room, I guess that kind of thing is just, we do bring snacks. And the real reason is because like everybody says you're in Walt Disney World, what do you need to get snacks for? You're eating all day. Well, yeah, but if you're at a hotel or one of the like resorts where you're far away from any of the restaurants or any of the stores, that's one thing. You're usually getting back super late anyway. And so that's another thing.
Yeah.
My last thought is that my breakfast, I don't tend to want to have to buy breakfast because we're moving that early in the morning. So we usually get fruit and granola bars. We've been trying to go for the high protein granola bars as opposed to just the normal ones that we used to always get that we love eating, but you know,
I get the just the Nature Valley, like the oat and honey or the peanut butter, the box. So I give like a box of 30 of them, and they're mm-hmm. they're easy on your stomach, so you can eat them at just about any time. You eat them in the morning, you can eat them late at night. Water. And then we also get like, I get like a, not many, but I get a thing of the bottle of the Diet Cokes, and I get Coke Zeros for Kim. Mm-hmm. And usually, because sometimes I'll drink that in the morning.
Everybody has their thing. We'll get juice, either orange juice or like cranberry mixed juice, something like that. And kind of we'll have that for the entire trip because we'll get a big bottle of it.
Oh, man. Let me tell you, I was on the Carnival cruise a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago. And in the mornings, the little dispenser had Pog juice in it.
Oh, wow.
So it was all you could drink Pog juice in the morning. Nice. Like, you know, because all the food and drink, you know, was in the machine that during the day it would have lemonade and iced tea. But mm-hmm. in the mornings it would have orange juice and Pog juice.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that's totally that special juice they have over at the Polynesian.
Yeah, they got it a couple different places. I've heard they even have it some places with rum, but it was totally like a throwback on a Carnival ship. But it was like a total throwback to like a Disney, like. You know,
sure. Well, it's like you're going to have like Dole Whips places. They're just not called Dole Whips, but it's the same thing. Yeah. I mean, they're out there.
The other big thing for me, Walt Disney World, the groceries, is toilet paper.
That's right. You introduced me to that whole premise the last time I was there, and I have to agree, that's not a bad idea if you're getting groceries anyway.
Because the toilet paper in Disney, the hotels, is terrible. Terrible.
I agree. And that, and again, you just get a 4-pack or whatever. It's very minimal price wise, and you leave whatever you have left over for the next guy.
I've even just thrown, like, if there's a couple rolls left in the little package, I throw them in my luggage if it'll fit. I just take them home. If it doesn't fit, I'll just leave it, nothing lost. But if it does, if I can squeeze it in the luggage, I'll squeeze it in the luggage.
Right. Before we get away from the grocer, another downside is that if they can't find something on the shelf, there's a good chance they might replace it with something they think is very similar. And after the delivery is at the hotel and it's been delivered to your room, you'll find out then it'll be too late. And depending on how much it costs, return is probably not going to happen.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not as similar as they think it is.
Oh, we had a cracker thing last time. Who cares? It was not a major thing, but it was so different than what we thought it was going to
be. Yeah. I mean, it's not 100%. It's not 100%, but it, man, the grocery delivery to me, just the waters. Mm-hmm. Like this time I'll have a case of 36 waters. But when we go like in November, when I'm there for a whole week, I'll get 2 cases of water.
You're going to go through them because you figure each adult's going to drink 3. If you can't carry this much with you, but 3 bottles of water a day, if you can. So if you hit the room, come back, you're definitely taking another bottle when you're going back for the afternoon, evening.
And Ian freezes them. So he'll take one.
I always heard the evils of frozen water in plastic bottles and the plastic.
I don't know.
Stuff like that. I mean,
he freezes them.
The logic makes sense. It's just, you know.
Yeah. I've heard this. Yeah. I know. I get where you're coming from. If you freeze it or eat it. If it gets too hot in plastic bottles, it leaches, like the chemicals leach in the water or whatever.
Sure. Everything's going to kill us anyway. So,
yeah, for sure.
So now as far as the room goes too, how much tech do you bring? So now we never really brought a lot of stuff till maybe about 10 years ago. We started doing like the light decorations in our windows. So we'd bring a string of lights. And back then it was just Christmas lights. So we'd have to have extension cord. You'd plug it in. And we'd also have to bring our utility strips back in the day because there was never enough plugs in the room. And you had to start charging phones eventually and such like that. But Disney has improved in that the majority of the hotels.
Yeah, since they've remodeled these rooms, I mean, they're adding USB ports and plugs all over the place.
However, they still aren't fast charging. No. So they're cool. They're great for overnighting. Perfect. If you do need the fast charging, then you should be charging your phone with your iPad charger, and that's your quickest way. I still bring a bunch of those in a utility strip. It always comes in handy. And if there's 3 of us down there, well, that's at least 3 phones charging at the time. We also then have cameras that have USB cords that need to be charged too. 1 or 2 of them. I still bring a utility strip.
If you ever have, you know, if those battery backups that you carry with you throughout the day to recharge those overnight.
And that too, right?
If you don't have a fast charger, man, like I have one that's like a bigger one. And if you don't have a fast charger, that thing will take on Disney's, like the USB ports and the plugs, that'll take 2 days to charge fully.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking, because I was like trying to think of what other stuff we charge in a room, because I know we always run out, and that's the batteries are definitely one of them. So technology hasn't changed in that way. The rooms themselves are a lot better in that they have a bigger refrigerator. The coffee machines are better, and the coffee brand, I think, is okay. So,
oh, yeah, they do Joffrey.
People always complain about bringing their own coffee machines and stuff like that. That's not a thing anymore.
Oh, no, I think all over now, that it's Joffrey's coffee. It's very good coffee.
Mm-hmm. So we don't worry about that at all. Other tech I might bring would be a Bluetooth speaker, perhaps. Other than that, not a computer. We always have a computer with us. If we have to get some stuff off of cards, if we have to get in touch with somebody and we don't want to do it on the phone, we'll usually have a computer with us.
It's good to have. I like the idea of a Bluetooth speaker, especially like during football season. I have an app that you can kind of, like if you're at Splitsville watching football, but they got a ton of games on. So I have an app, and God, I'm not going to remember the name, but I'm going to look on my phone. That basically it opens your camera and it scans the picture of the TV you're watching, and it finds it and then plays the audio for you. So if you have a little Bluetooth speaker, you can sit at your little table, you could actually hear your game.
Apps are getting so smart. That's great.
In sync with the channel you're watching. Yeah. Beautiful. So you get to,
Yeah, and the Bluetooth will keep for mainly the room itself. It depends. If we're in a hotel where we have like a little courtyard outside where we are and it's not really bugging anybody, we'll maybe use it outside if we're hanging out. Sure. But it's mainly for the room.
Tunity is the app. T-U-N-I-T-Y.
Okay.
And I was in a similar situation. I was at a casino. This was a few years ago. We met some people. They actually just let us sit at their table. Because we were going there to watch the LSU game, and he showed me that app, and he had his phone sitting on the table playing the audio from the game.
And it was like magic.
It was the greatest thing. At that point, at that moment, it was the greatest thing ever.
I'm sure. It always is that first time. You say it, definitely. Okay, so now we're going to go to the parks. So from the hotel room, depending how we're getting there, and then we're, I guess that would change technology a little bit or what we would pack. But basically, what's the general load what you take in the park?
I mean, I think the first question is, what do you carry in the parks? Because sometimes the greatest days ever is when I can convince Kim to carry a couple things for me and I don't have to take a backpack at all.
Sure.
Those are so – that never happens for a whole day. But like if we go back to the room and then we're going to go – like if we're at a park all – most of the day, and we go stop at the room, and then we're going to go spend the evening at Epcot or Disney Spring. A lot of times I can convince her just to carry, you know, not even my battery pack, just to make sure she has a battery pack and a cord to charge our phones, and that's all I'm going to take for the evening. Man, not having a bag is kind of freeing a little bit.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I can't go a whole day without. I do have, like, my big thing is I carry a camera bag. So, and it's not even a big camera bag, but what it does do is it replaces a knapsack, a baby stroller. It replaces any of the other things we've had in the past in that I can take everything in that little camera bag now. Because going into the park, I've got my normal camera, a GoPro camera, and then my phone. So I got to carry a battery pack at least, and then wires for each one of those devices. Then I've got a couple stands. I've got one stand and I've got a couple mounts for the phone and for the GoPro. And
we're really missing Morgan on this show because her backpack is on a different level.
Yeah, well, she has a huge bag usually.
She's usually got and it's stuffed. She carries a full size tripod. She carries multiple cameras. She carries.
It'd be like the last Harry Potter with Hermione, Ron, and Harry, with her reaching into her bag and having everything you ever need.
Everything. And now Kim is really good about having, like, if you've got a headache or you cut your finger, like, Kim is like first aid central. She's going to have whatever you need cooling gel if you burned yourself, or, you know, aspirin or Tylenol or
ibuprofen. We usually have, one of us has at least Band-Aids. The least we'll go with is Band-Aids. We might have more depending if anybody has any issues like blisters or chafing.
Yeah, that type of stuff. Kim always has all that stuff with her.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, you never know when you're going to need it. It's usually when you don't have it is when you're going to need something in the parks.
And you know what's interesting?
That
when I was down for the media event, the day I was at Guardians of the Galaxy, the second day we were there, I was like in a full-blown allergy attack. Like, I'm just constantly sneezing. My face is itching. I mean, it was just driving me crazy. And I'd already taken a Zyrtec. And it wasn't doing it. So I needed something else. So I walked all around Epcot trying to find a Claritin. And eventually they sent me to the first aid, which is in the Odyssey. But at one point in time, you used to be able to go into any store. And they had like a little, like almost like a little fishing tackle box, like one of those little flat plastic containers that they would open up, and they had Tylenol and
they have to monitor that stuff now. They can't just, would they sell it to you from the stores, or they would just
They would sell it to you like in the little single packs like you pick up at a gas station, you know what I mean? Which is bananas that they don't have that. I mean, I understand they, it's not prescription. I mean, it's over the counter stuff. You can walk in any gas station and buy it. But with that being said, I went over to the Odyssey and went to the first aid and told them, and they gave it to me. They made me write my name down, and I guess so they can track it, who they're giving it to. But they didn't charge me anything for it. They just gave it to me.
Now, I think they'd rather have control over the situation on limited amounts of, like, you know, low budget meds like that. Maybe. And at least they have somebody, you know, approving or whatever. Not.
And there was a doctor.
Right. Well, we had
a doctor at the first visit.
And we had a actual, it was a nurse or nurse practitioner, but still. Great. I mean, it's a very, very good thing. And we actually have a show in the wings coming up down the road, kind of about a lot of the things that we can deal with as far as special needs and a lot of the nursing stations and, you know, what are the different types of services they provide. And it's pretty incredibly amazing what the Disney World, the medical services they provide.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm not just saying they're going to patch you up. I mean, literally from, you know, any type of issues you're having in the parks, they're going to have a way to fix it, get you taken care of. And then the very worst, unfortunately, if it happens, they'll be able to get you help.
Yep. So into the parks with me, I carry a backpack typically. I've carried a couple different ones. My biggest suggestion about any bag you carry, whether it be a backpack or a camera bag or crossbody or a fanny pack, whatever you carry, I would tell you the biggest thing is, and this is not as much of a big deal as it used to be, but the less compartments it has, the better. At one point in time, it was really a big deal because they always had to check your bags. Now with the scanners, they don't do it as often, but if they, if you, something does set it off and you have to go to bag check, it just takes way longer if you got a bag with a bunch of compartments because they got to check every compartment. Right. Well, not all of them do, but some of them will go through every compartment. You'll be there.
Sure.
For a few minutes.
And that's something, if you are taking bags in, you always got to worry about is the bag check, and you have to figure out what's causing it and things like that. And by the end of your trip, you usually do. Yep. But, you know, I just kind of go into it expecting to get checked each time. So I'm ready for that. My bag's always opened. All the pockets are unzipped, ready to go. And yeah.
So for me, definitely at least one battery backup, sometimes two, sometimes I usually have my bigger one. That's an older one, so it doesn't really charge quick, but it's a bigger one, so it does charge my phone multiple times. So usually I'll take a smaller one that's a quick charge that I can just plug in just for a few minutes and get my, get some charge on my phone.
Right.
And then the bigger one, if I know I got some time that it's going to be, my phone will be in the bag for a while, I'll plug it into that one and just let it sit and slow charge. A little Gorillapod. I always have that with me. Sometimes another tripod, a smaller tripod that good, that you can sit on top of a trash can or whatever. I rarely carry a full size tripod unless I know I'm going specifically, like if we say, hey, we're going to live stream this tonight, then I'll bring it with me for that evening. But typically I don't bring a full size tripod. Chapstick, always a big deal to me.
Sure.
Eye drops. I wear contacts. If you're a contact wear, having just re-wetting drops is a big deal, especially because you go on attractions, stuff like that, with wind blowing in your face, or you're walking through queues with fans blowing in your face, and they dry your contacts out. So eye drops are a big deal. Usually I have some type of candy in my bag.
Gum, usually for us, just because you can't get it.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not a gum chewer, but like one of the things we order from the grocery is these, those little Welch's like fruit gummies or whatever. We get a box of those, and I'll throw a couple of the packs of those in my bag. Because if you're standing in line or stuff, it's great. Good to have just a little, we'll get a little sugar in your system. I think that's the biggest things I carry. Sometimes an umbrella.
Yeah, the umbrella is a big thing on our list because that was, I mentioned earlier how one of those things, if you don't have it, you need it.
Oh yeah.
Literally, that is probably one of the things that causes that issue. If it's about 30% chance or less, I will try to go without it.
You leave it in the room.
I even have to hesitate when I say that I'll go without it. But yeah, anything more than that, we found that it will definitely rain. And the majority of the time, yeah, definitely Florida, you get those. They tell you the half hour showers, whatever, it goes away. The last couple trips, we've had hour, 2 hour, 3 hour long major storms. So I tend to use an umbrella or bring it with us a lot. And I usually bring golf umbrellas. I don't go for the little ones. What's the sense of having something small that really doesn't do anything when you open it up? So
yeah.
I like the golf umbrellas. It covers the bag I have, whatever I'm carrying, and myself. And
I don't like the ponchos. To me, they're hot.
I totally agree. We're talking that the other night. Ponchos.
And then when you take them off, you got to, a lot of times, like you say, it's a 30-minute shower. By the time you get the poncho out your bag, get it on, the shower's over. Now you got to take this wet poncho off, fold it up, and put it in your bag with all your electronics.
Yep.
So I don't really know. And they're hot as hell. I mean, I guess if you're there other than the summer, it'd be fine. Another thing that I found recently that I started bringing with me, two things. If you go into the summer, invest in a cooling towel. They sell them at Disney and they're not that much money. Right. Those cooling towels are good thing. Great.
Yep, I agree.
And the neck fans. Man, a neck fan. If you have a cooling towel and a neck fan, you'd be surprised how much that helps you kind of just feel better.
Mm-hmm. Does. Totally does. We have the small square, takes two AA batteries, and it hangs around your neck and blows up under your chin into your neck. Guys, it cost us, I think, $9 at Walgreens, and it worked incredibly well on our last trip.
Yep, I love it. I got an old school one that wraps around your neck, and it's actually got two little fans that you can kind of bend up and put in your face. Mm-hmm. And then you can move them around and it lights up.
Dave's amazing. The ones that like kind of look like that they have out now, new ones, are amazing for $200, that they literally are little air conditioners that are blowing cold air at you.
So the newer one I got wraps around your neck, but it doesn't, okay. It's not adjustable. It just blows straight up.
Right.
But those are like, you can get those on Amazon for like $20.
Oh, I'm sure they'll just come down and there's all different types of brands and such.
Oh, they're all probably made in China, but I mean, I've had good luck with them. You don't put any batteries in them. They're rechargeable.
Mm-hmm.
They have different speed settings. So it's right. Really.
One of the saving graces of Walt Disney World when it does come to heat, though, is that everywhere around every corner, there is a doorway with air conditioning pumping out of it. So if, you know, it ever gets really nasty, you stop at the store, you take a little walk around, and you just enjoy it a little bit.
Yep, for sure. We definitely spend more time indoors during the heat.
Sure. Bandanas. Yeah. I'll take a couple bandanas with me on the trips, or even take the washcloths from the hotel. Nothing really taking a washcloth. You're going right back to the hotel that night anyway.
Yep.
Always nice to kind of wipe off all that sweat.
Now, yeah, I mean, like, if we're going to walk down Main Street in July, we're probably going to walk through the Emporium.
Sure.
Yeah, great. Just to get out the heat, just to give you that break, that little bit of break, because...
Sure depends on the crowd, though. But yes, more than likely walking out of Magic Kingdom, we're usually going through there.
Yeah.
So now, one of the other things we brought up and we mentioned a couple of times are the apps. So there are a number of different apps that will help you out on all different apps that will help you out on the different parts of your trip.
Yeah, different aspects.
There's apps that are going to help you with the traveling. There's going to be apps that are helping you out with the hotel and getting yourself comfortable, like we mentioned, the groceries and such. There's apps that are going to be used in the parks themselves. And there's apps that are going to be used while you're relaxing anywhere around back at the hotel again. Well, of course, the My Disney Experience app is number one on the list for all the Disney fans here. Actually, I don't think you can get around Walt Disney World without it very easily, because all your information is there and they use all that information with your checking in and your tickets and such like that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the apps I use the most. Obviously, you know, the Publix app is one I use, the Lines app. Mm-hmm. Now the Drizzly app.
Right. So let's go one by one. So now you mentioned the Lines app. So that's the Touring Plans app we mentioned earlier. It's Lines and it's a couple things. It is a wait times for different rides. It does register that. It also has a section of it where people who are at the parks that are using that app get to submit their own wait times too. So you see the actual wait times that the touringplans.com recommend or suggest it's going to be, but then you also see reality of somebody there posting times. And of course, you're hoping they're posting real times. And I've done in the past, I've got like something like 500 different times posted, some over the many, many trips that I've been helping them out and doing that. And they use those stats too, for the most part. So very, very useful app. Plus there is a chat online. It's not as big as it was, I think, but there is a chat that was able to get information sometimes even while you're at the park.
Didn't realize there was a chat. Maybe I did. I don't remember it. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the main ones.
So they also, here's what Disney does confuse you a little bit, though, because they have their My Disney Experience app. However, if you want to do any of the games in the parks, you have to get the Disney Play app, which is a different app.
Separate,
But it ties into it with the same type of registration, or it knows who you are. And that's the one, Galaxy's Edge, that's the one where you're going to do trivia for all the different parks and different type of games wherever you are. And that's the one that's also going to keep track and give you the different tokens and different types of rewards for being on different rides and going at different times of the year.
Yep,
and a lot more. We also mentioned our watches and magic bands, which are now are going to become interchangeable as we move forward. However, Disney still wants to give us the Magic Band Plus, which I am going to be getting. So there's no question about that once it does come out.
Yep, for sure.
But that was another thing we'd always keep track of. I'd always bring two magic bands, one to always use and the other one to keep in the bag if I lost number one.
Me too. I always have an extra in the bag just in case.
Sure.
The other thing I always do is I test those two of that I'm bringing with me on the hotel room door before I leave. Because I've had issues with them not working sometimes. And there's nothing worse in your life than after a long day, especially if you, a long night, and especially if you've been drinking, that you go to your room and your magic band doesn't work and you got to go back to the front desk and have them fix it.
Yeah, do that checking in with luggage. That's the worst.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But yes, but that hasn't happened in three trips, knock on wood. So I'm hoping they've gotten their act together. And that
seems like the system's better than it once was.
Right, right. So we'll see. We'll see. So yeah, I guess as far as apps in the room, I would have whatever music apps we have. At the parks, I still use Facebook, so I'll post on Facebook because I'm an old guy. Other people, I guess, would say Instagram. As far as the app go, it's great to have because you can now instantaneously text other people you might be meeting or you know are in the parks and stuff like that. I've actually used Weather app a lot in the parks.
Yep, for sure.
It helps me out when I see the storm and it will then tell me where the storm is going based on radar and tracking and all that crap. So that's a bonus. That's a good one. Yeah. And then one other app to use, and this is kind of like weird, but I use the Kindle app because on the buses, certain times on lines when there's really nothing at all to do or from by myself, I'm going to read a couple pages.
I may do that, but I'm going to do Audible and I'm going to listen to a couple pages.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Either way. To me, that's one extra thing to have is earbuds or headphones.
Yeah, true.
But you do that. And you also mentioned earlier, and it's a great point to make, is that there's two types of touring at Walt Disney World. There's touring with a bag and there's touring without a bag. And it is a completely free experience to not have to bring a bag with you as far as just A, going through the turnstiles, and B, not having to remember if you left it somewhere. But you also have to have enough pockets, or you have to be able to carry some of the things we mentioned earlier, which for a full day, I'd rather have the bag as opposed to have all my cargo short pockets full and banging against my legs as I'm walking around.
Yeah, or have a wife that has a bag and will carry some of your stuff with her.
Sure. And you think back to the days almost with envy when you see the young families walking around with strollers. I'm like, oh, crap, so nice. They got four wheels that carry all the crap. I mean, the kid too, but all the crap.
I mean, I would even consider just taking a stroller. I don't even have little kids.
Yeah.
Just use it as a push cart.
Depending on the trip. Keep the core. Cooler into the park. It's
crazy. There's definitely been times like for the podcast meetups, like the scavenger hunt, we had bags and bags of like giveaways and stuff, like all the prizes, like a stroller would have totally made sense.
Oh, no doubt. I totally agree. One of the other things Hope got last time around when we ordered groceries, this just came to my mind. It was a really good one. Was one of those like pre-made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches they have in all the restaurant, all the hotel lobby, you know, refrigerators and stuff, the like
Smuckers,
that. Yeah. Crustables or something like
Uncrustables,
that.
Uncrustables. Yeah.
Getting it at the supermarket when you get six in a box, the price is just like no comparison to what you have to pay per at the park.
So true.
That was a good one. Especially if you have a picky kid, picky eater.
Yeah, that's so true. That's a good one.
Okay, guys. So what do you think? What do you take to the parks? How do you prepare for a trip? What did we miss? Let us know. Jimmy, how can they get in touch with the show?
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast, and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 441 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. Just so you know, this is our last podcast before our June meetup. So we hope to be seeing everybody down there that wants to go and meet us down in Epcot. And for any of you going, safe travels, and we hope to see you soon.
Very excited about the trip.
So for Jimmy, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Quaharini.
Compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back.